Today's Shir Masechta Kedushin Daf Lamed Daled. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, two lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Ka Mitzvah Saseh Shizman Grama, or Mitzvah Saseh Shizman Grama, and Noshim Chayovim, the Noshim Pturis, men are obligated in such mitzvahs, women are exempt. The Ka Mitzvah Saseh Shaloyah Zman Grama, but if a mitzvah say when it's a mitzvah say shloya zman grama, then the halacha is that echad noshim ve'echad noshim chayavim. Tan Rabbanan begins the brisa ezu. What are examples of mitzvah say shzman grama? Sukkah, that we sit on the sukkah and sukkahs, lulav, that we take the dalaminim on sukkah, shayfa, that we blow the shayfa on Rosh Hashanah, the tzitzis, and the halacha that tzitzis is Yoyim V'loy Laila. And of course, there's a famous Machlokes Rishonim. How to understand that? Doesn't mean that it depends on when you're wearing the tzitzis. That means if you're wearing the tzitzis by day, you always have to wear tzitzis. And when you're wearing tzitzis by night, you never have to wear tzitzis. Or it does depend on the beged. If it's a beged that's meant for use by day, then it's chayv tzitzis. And if it's a beged that's meant for use at night, then it's not chai b'tzitzis. But the beged that's meant for day use would always be chai b'tzitzis, even if you're wearing it at night. And the garment that's meant for night use will never be chai b'tzitzis, even if you're wearing it by day. For tefillin, the halacha of tefillin is that tefillin only apply by day and not by night. Ve'ezu mitzvah say shaloi z'man groma, and then continues the Brisa and identifying what a mitzvah says, shaloi azman grama, says the Brisa, mezuzah, having mezuzah on the doors, makah, having a gate, a fence around the roof, aveda, the obligation of returning a lost item, v'shluach hakan, the halach is that if we find a nest with a mother and its baby, the halach is shaleich to shaleich ha'seim, v'sabonim tikach loch. So, of course, many Rishonim asked the question that in number of the mitzvahs asay that were just mentioned, there's also a lav. By Makkah, it says, Leisosim Domim Beveisecha, and so therefore it has a lav. By Hashavas Aveda, the Tarak Doshe says, Leisucha Lesalim. So it also comes with a lav. By Shiluach HaKan, the Torah says, Leisikach Ho'eim alabonim. So it also comes with a lav. So the fact that these are mitzvahs asay, shizman grama or not shizman grama, ought to be irrelevant because they're all coming with a lav. So the Ri, Taisus asked this question, the Ri says that there are circumstances when there's only a mitzvahs asay and no lav. For example, if somebody bought a home, if somebody built a home with the intention of putting up a makkah, and then he changed his mind and didn't put up the makkah, he's not over leisosim domim meisecha, he's not over that lav, but he is over the mitzvah say. And the same by Aveda. If somebody picked up somebody's lost object with the intention of returning it, and then he doesn't return it, he's not over leisucha lesalim. And the same thing by shiluach hakan. If somebody took the mother and the babies with the intention of keeping both, then he's over the lav. But if that was not his original intention, he would not be the lav. Other rishonim have a whole different approach. The Ramban, this is primarily the approach of the Ramban. The Ramban's approach is that there are certain times that the Torah says a mitzvah sasei, and certain times that the Torah says a mitzvah loy sasei, and sometimes there's a combination. So says the Ramban, that when we find in a situation of a combination of a mitzvah sasei and a mitzvah loy sasei, the way to look at it, explains the Ramban, very interesting approach, is not that the lav is an independent lav, but rather, the way to understand it is the lav is here only to strengthen the mitzvah saseh. And since the lav is only here to strengthen the mitzvah saseh, so there is a lav. One cannot deny that there's a lav, but it's still not considered a regular lav that we say that all lavin women are obligated in. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, explains that the pasuk that tells us Atam Kisru Lachem Sashir Azois, the pasuk that teaches us that we have an obligation to write a Sefer Torah, explains the Gemara, Apishan Neichalai Avois of Sefer Torah, even if one's forefathers left them a Sefer Torah, Mitzvah Lichtai Mishaloi, we have an obligation to write our own Sefer Torah. So the question is, that why don't we say the same by mezuzah, that even though somebody's parents left him a mezuzah, he has to write his own mezuzah. So the Panim Yafis explains that the halacha is that a mezuzah that was written by a woman is possible, but on the other hand, a woman is obligated in the mitzvah of mezuzah. So he explains, if the obligation of mezuzah was that we have to write our own mezuzah, and we can't rely on a mezuzah that was written by a forefather, so how would a woman, as we just learned, is mechayiv in the mitzvah of mezuzah, because it's a mitzvah say shleis man grama, the halacha is that anything that she would never be able to ask a sofer to write the mezuzah on her behalf. Because the halacha is that anything I can't do myself, I can't ask somebody else to do on my behalf. So how would a woman ever have a mezuzah? So it must be that by mezuzah there is no halacha that you have to write your own mezuzah. You could rely on the mezuzah. You could rely on the mezuzah that you got from your parents, and therefore that mezuzah is a kosher mezuzah. The Gemara just used tefillin and as an example of a mitzvah saseh shizman grama. And we know what halacha is, as the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Chav Hei, Sif Hei, teaches us, that one is supposed to first put on the tefillin shayad, and after he puts on the tefillin shayad, then and only then does he put on the tefillin shorosh. The reason is, because we follow the wording of the Torah. The Torah says, Ukshartem lois ayudecha, and afterwards, u'toytofes b'neinecha. And therefore, the halacha goes so far to teach us that even if somebody, for whatever reason, when he's taking his tefillin out of his tefillin bag, took out the shel roish first, and there's many times the concept of eim avir mala mitzvahs, and we're supposed to take the first mitzvah that comes to our hand, by tefillin, that halacha doesn't apply because of the pasuk. But there is, says the Cheshukei Chemed, one example where we should put on the tefillin shorosh before the tefillin shayad. We know that when it comes to tefillin, there are two different opinions regarding the order in which the parashas of the tefillin should be written. There's the order of the Rebbeinu Tam and the order of Rebbeinu of Rashi. So the minig is that we put on, everybody wears tefillin shel Rashi. As the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Lamed Daled discusses, there are those that also put on the tefillin shel Rebbeinu Tam. But everybody agrees that first we primarily follow the opinion of Rashi. So in those cases where somebody, let's say, put on tefillin shel has a pair of shel Roish of Rashi and shel Yad of Rebbeinu Tam, there the halacha is, says the Mishnah Berura, that since the right pair of tefillin to be put on first is the tefillin shel Rashi, there you put on the tefillin shel Rashi first, and only afterwards the shel Roish of Rashi, and then the shel Yad of Rebbeinu Tam. Ask the Gemara, is this a rule, the klaluhu? Is this a complete rule that all mitzvahs asayishas man groma, women are exempt? Harei matzah, that we eat on Pesach, simcha, that we're supposed to have the samach b'chagecha, that we have to have mitzvah simcha all throughout the shalosh regalim. Hakel, the year after Shemitah, on the sukkahs on the year after Shemitah, everybody had to gather, noshim nosh v'taf, had to gather on matzeh, the first days of sukkahs, and matzeh the first day of sukkahs, and read Sefer Dvarim from Sefer Dvarim in the Azara. That all of these are examples, asked the Gemara, of mitzvah sasasha's man grama, the noshim chayavis. And then asked the Gemara on the other side, we said that all mitzvah sasasha loyas man grama, women are obligated. Asked the Gemara by Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of pure rivia of having children, mitzvah pinyan aben, the lab mitzvah sasasha's man grama, that all these are examples of mitzvahs that are not mitzvah sasasha's man grama, and yet, noshim peturis. It's important to point out that the Avudram explains why indeed are women obligated in mitzvah sasei shaloi as man grama, and they're exempt from mitzvah sasei shas man grama. So the Avudram offers a very interesting explanation. The Avudram suggests that by definition, a mitzvah sasei shas man grama, because it's limited to a separate time, there's a separate time to when we have to fulfill the mitzvah seishas man grama, and women have other obligations to their families, to their husbands, and therefore they could possibly have a conflict. We have the mitzvah seishas, it's a mitzvah seishas man grama that we have to fulfill within a certain time frame, and now there are other obligations that this woman has in that time frame. So because we have that issue, that's why the Torah says that women are not obligated in mitzvah sasei shizman grama. But when we speak about other types of mitzvahs that are not limited to a certain time, so then even though the woman comes with many other obligations, she's not limited to a certain time by when she has to fulfill the mitzvah, and therefore the halach is that she should do those mitzvahs. So the question here is that we've given exceptions in both directions, asked the Gemara. There are mitzvahs aseishas man grama that women are obligated, and the other ten, that mitzvahs aseishas man grama that women are exempt. Amar Rav Yochanan, so it's because of this the Gemara says, ein lamedim min haklal, that even when the Mishnah says a rule, the rule is not to be understood as completely definite. And even in a case, says the Gemara, feel b'mok mishnah b'chutz, even in a case where the rule seems to be definite, because the rule seems to be mentioning the exceptions, it doesn't make a difference. The Tanan, as the Mishnah Masech, the Erevin teaches us, b'kol ma'arvin, the halacha is, there's a din of Eruv Chatzeris. The midaraisa, one should be allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid. However, Chazal said that one may not carry from a more private Rishus HaYochid to a more public Rishus HaYochid. So for example, if somebody lives in the privacy of his home, and he lives in an apartment building, for example, and the courtyard, the hall, the lobby is a more public Rishus HaYochid than the privacy in my home, I'm not allowed to carry from my home into the public Rishus HaYochid without making an Eruv Chatzeris. And the Mishnah Masechta Erevin describes what food could be used for Eruv Chatzeris. Says the Mishnah, Kama Arvin, with any type of food we could use for Eruv Chatzeris. And the Mishnah also says, Mishtatfin, we could use any type of food to make shtufim revoz. The way the homes were constructed in the time of the Gemara, that each home was open to a chatzah, to a courtyard, and then a number of courtyards open to a mavi, to an alley. And here too, the halacha is that in order to be able to carry from a chatzah, from the various chatzeris to the mavi, you had to make shtufim revoz with the food. And again, the Mishnah is discussing what type of food could be used to construct that. And the halacha is everything could be used, chutz min hamayim and melech, except for water and salt, because they offer no nourishment. So the Mishnah made a very clear rule, and the Mishnah clearly also indicated what are the exceptions. And now the questions with Suleka, are there no other exceptions? Vika kameim pitrios, there are mushrooms that the halacha is that they're not considered nourishing food, and since they're not considered nourishing food, you can't use them. Ella, from here we see, Eila made him in a klolus. We don't learn from the fact that a rule was stated is not obligated us. A filu, even in a case, even if the rule seems to be absolute. So we learned in the Mishnah, a mitzvah seishes man grama, menashim paturis. A mitzvah seishes man grama, as we've been learning, women are exempt. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, gama mitfilin. We learn from the tefillin. Ma tefillin, noshim paturis. Tefillin are mitzvah seishes man grama, and women are exempt. From here we learn, af kama to say, shes man grama, noshim paturis. So ask the Gemara, before we go any further, the tefillin, how do we know that the women are exempt from the mitzvah tefillin? Says the Gemara, Gamala Mitama Torah. We learn it from Talmud Torah. The pasuk says, "V'shinantam v'necho ukshatam lois al yodecho." So we connect the mitzvah of tefillin to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So from here we learn, "Mat Talmud Torah nashim paturis." Just like women are exempt from Talmud Torah, so too the halacha is af tefillin nashim paturis. The Chishukei Chemed has a very interesting shaila that he discusses here. He speaks about a family who has financial difficulties. And the wife, the mother, is, and they have a son who's Baruch Hashem becoming a bar mitzvah. And the mother says to her husband that she is ready to take on extra responsibilities, extra work, to be able to buy her son, who's becoming bar mitzvah, the most beautiful pair of tefillin, the most mehudar pair of tefillin. And that was the agreement that they had. And then what happened was that the husband turns to his wife and says, "I just got a call from the bank that I am overdrafted, and if I won't put money into my account, the checks will bounce." And the wife's, and he's therefore asking her that the extra money that she's been saving to be able to buy these beautiful tefillin for her son should be deposited in the bank in order that they should not fall into this situation. So the question is, what is the halacha? So he says that certainly the halacha is that wife is not that money is not the husband's money, even though we've learned so many times in Masechta Ketubos and in other sugyas how the money that a wife earns belongs to the husband. Here, number one, she worked more than she's obligated to work. Number two, it was clearly agreed that that money would be put aside for the tefillin. So that the husband doesn't have a claim, a financial claim, that he has ownership of the money. But the question here is, what is the right thing to do? So he makes a very important point. He says that what they should do is that the shalom bayis, harmony in the home, always comes first. And since harmony in the home always is supposed to come first, he says that they should try, she should put up, they should use the money to cover their financial hardship. And then he gives advice, if it's doable. He says what they should do is not immediately buy for their son a new pair, this pair of tefillin. There are gemach, he says, that will lend people who need tefillin. So they should borrow tefillin from the gemach, and the son should wear those tefillin until their financial situation straightens out, and then they'll use the money that she earns to buy a beautiful pair of tefillin. So ask the Gemara, instead of comparing tefillin to a sefer to Talmud Torah, and therefore say that just women are exempt to Talmud Torah, they should also be exempt from mezuzah, just like women are exempt from Talmud Torah, they should also be exempt from tefillin. Ask the Gemara, why don't we say v'nakish tefillin l'mezuzah, and say just like women are obligated in mezuzah, so too they should be obligated in tefillin. Answers the Gemara, tefillin l'Talmud Torah iskish. We find that the Torah connects tefillin and Talmud Torah bein b'pashu shoyna. both in the first parsha of Krishma and Beimit Parsha Shniya. Tefillin being connected to mezuzah only happens in the first parsha of Ahavta, but Parsha Shniya in the parsha of Ayim Shemaya lo iskish. But then asked the Gemara, for Nakish, so asked the Gemara, that why not say mezuzah should be connected to Talmud Torah? The Torah in Krishma puts mezuzah and Talmud Torah next to each other. The Torah says, "V'lamadatem oisim es b'neichem," and then the Torah says, "V'chsata mezuzah be'secha." And therefore, we should say that just like women are exempt from Talmud Torah, they are exempt from mezuzah. Says the Gemara, "Loisakadatech." The Gemara doesn't find it acceptable that women should be exempt from mezuzah, because what does the Torah say? Says the Gemara regarding mezuzah, the ksiv leman yir b'yomechem. The schus of putting up a mezuzah brings us arichas yomim, and says the Gemara, of course, no gavri b'ychai. The only men require to live long. Women also nashi b'ychaya. They also need to live, so it doesn't make sense to exempt them from mezuzah. But ask the Gemara. For a sukkah, the mitzvah says she's man groma. Sukkah is a mitzvah says there's man groma. It says the Gemara diksiv the sukkah teishu sivas yomim, that we're only obligated to sit in the sukkah, we know, for the 7 days of sukkahs. And the reason women are exempt from sukkah, says the Gemara, tam dekos rechmona ha'ezrach, that the Torah says ha'ezrach lohetzi esanoshim, that comes to exempt women. Halav hachi, if not for that pasuk, noshim chayovis. Why should they be exempt? Why should women be exempt from? Why would we say that women are obligated in sukkah? It's mitzvah seishes man groma. Amar Abaya itzrich. There's a special reason to say that women. We need a pasuk to say that women are exempt from sukkah. Why? Sakadat chamina. We might have thought hoil the ksiv, since the Torah says besukkas teishu, that we should stay in the sukkah. And we explained that pasuk teaches us teishu ke'ein teduru. We live in the sukkah like we live in our home, and just like in our home, madira ish v'ishtoi, a husband and a wife live together. I would think that the sukkah is a place where ish v'ishtoi, and therefore, even though it's a mitzvah seishes man groma, we would think that women are obligated. That's why we need a special pasuk. So Rishonim ask a different question. Maybe the reason the pasuk needs to tell us that women are exempt from sukkah, because we know when it comes to our dalakosis and Megillah and Chanukah, there is a concept of she'af hein hoyu b'yisa neis, that women were part of that neis, and that's why they're obligated. So the mitzvah of sukkah, commemorating the sukkahs in the midbar, women were also in those sukkahs. So that's why we would maybe say that women are obligated, and that's why we need a pasuk. So Rishonim answer that the concept of afhein hoya be'esa oisa neis only applies by mitzvahs derabbanan. And if you think about it, all the examples we gave are derabbanan, dal koisis, Megillah, and Chanukah. There is no such concept midaraisa of afhein hoya be'esa neis. And therefore, that wasn't the teretz the Gemara could have offered. Rava gives a different teretz. Itzrich. We need a special pasuk to obligate women in the mitzvah sukkah. Kesakadat chamina nelev chamisha osur chamisha osur. We should learn gzeris shava sukkahs from Pesach. Ma lahalon. Just like when we speak about Pesach, noshim chayovas, women are obligated to eat matzah. We would think afkan noshim chayovas, women are obligated to sit in the sukkah. That's why tzricha we need a limit to say that they are not. Ask the Gemara, the obligation to bring to come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a carbon oilus re'iyah in mitzvah aseishes man groma. And says the Gemara, the Tama, why are women exempt from that mitzvah? The kasher rachmani yirah calls a churcha. And from that we learn lahotzi anoshim, to exempt women. Halav hachi, were we not to have that pasuk? Noshim chayavis. But the question is, why would we need a pasuk? It's a mitzvah seishes man groma, and we're learning that every mitzvah seishes man groma, women are exempt. Answers the Gemara, Sagadatach, Nelev, Miriah, we would learn from the Riyah. The Pasuk says, by coming to Yerushalayim on the Shalosh Regalim Riyah, the Torah uses the words Riyah, and the Torah speaks about Hakel, that women are obligated in the Mitzvah Hakel, as we spoke about earlier. So we would think that women ought to be obligated in the Mitzvah Karban Oil Riyah. That's why we have to have a Pasuk to exempt them. Ask the Gemara, V'ad Yalof Mitfilin Leptura, instead of learning from Tefillin that women are exempt from Mitzvah Seishas Man Groma, just like they're exempt from Tefillin, ask the Gemara, Nailof Misimcha, the Halacha of Simcha Yontif, obligates women, Nailof Misimcha L'chayuva, and just like women are Chayiv in Simchas Yontif, so too women are Chayiv, it should be chayiv and tefillin. Answers the Gemara, Amabai Isha Baal Masamcha. The obligation of simcha is not on the woman. The obligation of simcha is on the husband to make the woman, the wife, happy. Says the Gemara, so what are we going to say about Almona? Mayikul Meima. Says the Gemara, Beshruya Etzloi. The halacha is that Almona, we have an obligation to bring the Almona into our home and treat her like everyone else in the house and give her that simcha. But again, it's not her independent chiyuv. It's only the chiyuv that emanates from the husband, from the family. How do we fulfill the mitzvah of simcha? So the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tes, says that when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, the way we were mekayim the mitzvah simcha is by bringing carbon shlomim. Bizman hazeh, nowadays, that unfortunately we don't have Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara Masechta Pesachim says, Ein simcha ela b'yayin. As the Pasuk says, v'yayin yisamech levav enish, the Pasuk in Tehillim. But that, says the Gemara, is for men. For women, who don't necessarily enjoy drinking wine, the way we mekayim mitzvah simcha siyantav is buying them nice clothing and jewelry, and distributing delicious food to our children. The Rambam, in Hilchos Yontif, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Ches, suggests that we also are obligated to eat meat on Yontif. That's the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha. The question is, what is the meat that one has to eat to fulfill that mitzvah? The Midrash Chinuch and Mitzvah Tuf Pei Ches suggests that it has to be beef, has to be animal meat. Daruch Haner says that one can fulfill the mitzvah even with eating poultry. It's interesting, there are Moshe Sternberg Shlita in the Me'adim Zmanim Chelik Zayin Simen Kuf Yud Aleph says that even though, as we quoted the Midrash Chinuch just now, who says that on Yontif were obligated to eat meat to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha, he says that by a wedding, there's a mitzvah to be mesameich the chasam v'kala. But he says the mitzvah of being mesameich the chasam v'kala doesn't mean that everybody who's attending the wedding has to be besimcha. And therefore, he says, there is no obligation to serve beef at a wedding. So now we just learned a new concept of isha ba'ala mesamcha. It's the husband's obligation to make his wife be besimcha on Yontif. So the Shas Chus Avni Nezer Orchaim Chelik Beis Simon Shin Sadik Beis discusses the question of a moyel. A moyel was invited to do a bris milah on Yontif, but that would involve leaving his wife and family at home. And therefore, what should he do? Should he stay home and decline doing the bris? Or is the obligation to do the bris milah for this child, and he's the only moyel that presumably is available, what should he do? So Avi Nezer says a very interesting point. He says that the obligation of Simcha and Yontif already begins at the night of Yontif. The obligation for the bris is only the next morning. So since the moyel, the husband's obligation of Simcha, comes first, therefore he says he has to do the first mitzvah first of simcha b'mesameich his family, even if it means that this child won't have a mile to make his bris on the eighth day. The Michas Yitzchak and Shal Sechuvas Michas Yitzchak, Chelik Bey Simon Ayin Hey, quotes the Beis Shorim that disagrees. He says that indeed, as our Gemara just said, Anyantiv Isha Bala Masamcha, Anyantiv, a wife, the husband has an obligation to be Masameich, his wife, and therefore that should take precedence over all or most mitzvahs. But he suggests the mitzvah's mila is a whole different category of mila, a mitzvah. And he explains, why is the mitzvah mila a whole different category of mitzvah? He says, because the mitzvah of mila is so strong that it's even doich Shabbos. We know that a mila that's supposed to be done on the eighth day, and the eighth day is Shabbos, we're allowed to make it even on Shabbos. So since the mitzvah meal is such an important mitzvah, maybe even though we have the concept of Bala Masamcha, it wouldn't apply by Mila. But as the Gemara, V'neilat Mahakil, instead of saying that we learn from Tefillin that women are exempt from mitzvah cessation man grama, why don't we learn from Hakel that women are obligated? Answers the Gemara, shouldn't have a matzvah Hakel shnei k'suvim b'boim ke'echad, v'shnei k'suvim So the Gemara says that whenever the Torah teaches us a halacha, it would be adequate, it would be sufficient for the Torah to teach it to us once. If the Torah teaches us more than once, says the Gemara, then it means to teach us that only where it was said is that rule apply, and where it wasn't said, it doesn't apply. So, says the Gemara, Matz and Hakel are two mitzvahs of seishas man grama that the Torah obligates women in. Presumably, what the Torah means to say is in these mitzvahs, women are obligated nowhere else. Says the Gemara, we can make a counter argument. Yachi tefillin riya, the mitzvah of tefillin, and the mitzvah of riya, bringing the carbon oil riya and yontif, nami shnei ksum ha-baim kechad, should be two psukim that teach us that women are normally obligated in mitzvahs of seishas man grama, and only in these cases are they exempt. Tzrichi, says the Gemara, we have to have both tefillin and riyah. They're not considered shnei k'suvim haboim ke'echad. The kasher rachmana, and the Gemara explains, tefillin, v'lo kasher riyah. If the Torah would only have told us that women are exempt from tefillin and not from riyah, have a meaning, ne'ilof, riyah mahakal. As we said a moment ago, we would think that there maybe are chayiv and ne'ilof riyah because the chayiv and hakal. The kasher rachmana, riyah. If the Torah would have just said riyah, like kasa tefillin, have a mila akish tefillin and mezuzah, and just like they're obligated in tefillin and mezuzah, they should be obligated in tefillin. That's why tzricha we had to have both psukim. Ask the Gemara, we could say the same by matz and hakel, where we wanted to say it's a shnei k'suvim haboim ke'echad, that those are two exceptions that women are obligated, but everywhere else they're exempt. But we really need both psukim. Says the Gemara, why do you say that? If you're right, if the Torah would have only told us the halach of hakel and not matzah, we would think that we should learn from sukkahs, and we'd say that just like women are exempt from the sukkah, they're exempt from matzah. Ella asked the Gemara, it would have been sufficient for the Torah to say that women are obligated for matzah. I would anyway know that women have to come to Hakel. Because if tfeilim, if young children are chayovim, as the Pasuk says, v'ataf, noshim l'koshke, hilkoch, so the Pasuk that tells us that women are chayiv and Hakel is superfluous. Why isn't it superfluous? Presumably, because it's to teach us, shnei k'suvim haboim ke'echad emelamdim, that only here women are exempt. Here women are chayiv, everywhere else they're going to be potter. And to teach us, and we can learn from here. Says the Gemara, so if we follow the concept of shnei k'suvim haboim ke'echad emelamdim, elamamdim, even if we, according to the opinion that if the Torah says something twice, we can learn from there, sumayikalamemer, why don't we learn from matz and hakel, as the Gemara, that women should be obligated? The Su, says the Gemara, this halacha that we've been learning, the mitzvah shalei zman grama, noshim chayovas menalan, says the Gemara, that halacha we learn from Meir. The Torah says, ish imay v'aviv toro, ma Meir when it comes Aviv Tmeiro, which is not a mitzvah seishes man grama. The obligation is all of the time. Af come to say shelayes man grama noshe chayovis. Ask the Gemara, instead of learning from ish aviv ima tero that women are obligated, why we in mitzvah say shelayes man grama? Why don't we learn from Talmud Torah, which is a mitzvah say shelay has man grama, and women are exempt. Answers the Gemara. Shum da'av Talmud Torah peri riv yishnei k'suma boim ke'echad. V'kosh shnei k'suma boim ke'echad. That both mitzvahs say shloiz man groma, that women are exempt. Ask the Gemara. Ula Rabbi Yochim ben Broika that holds al shneim hu oim v'yorach oisa melekim. V'yoyim la makim peri rivu. And women are obligated in peri rivya. So it's not a case anymore of shnei k'suma boim ke'echad. Answers the Gemara. Shum da'av alei Talmud Torah, opinion aben. Both Talmud Torah and opinion aben are mitzvahs that say shloi hazman groma, and their women are exempt, and therefore it becomes shnei k'sum abayim ke'echad, shol k'nei b'sum ke'echad ein melamdim, and that's why women are not exempt from mitzvahs that say shloi hazman groma. So we've learned in our shir that women, mitzvah say shleiz man groma, women are chayiv, mitzvah say shleiz man groma, women are exempt. So there are a number of questions that come up in learning these halachas. One question that Rabbi Kivega already discusses in Madur Kama Simen Tezayin is the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Are women obligated in the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? On one hand, we can make an argument that it's a mitzvah seishes man groma. It's limited to Erev Yom Kippur, and therefore women should be exempt. On the other hand, the Torah connects it to the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur, as the Gemara in Masechta Brachos Daf Ches Amud Beis teaches us. So we see that it's connected to the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur, and therefore since it's connected to that mitzvah, to that loisa say, which obviously women are obligated, so therefore they should be obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So many achrayim suggest that since the Torah uses the word inui, as we just said, in describing the eating of Erev Yom Kippur, chishil chaydish tanus nafsha seichem, and inui is something that women are obligated on Yom Kippur, then therefore the halacha is that women have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The Shas Tshuvas Ksav Sofer Simen Kuf Yud Beis, he quotes Rashi from a Sechta Yuma that Pei Aleph Amud Beis, the Vermaska Kol Eichel. The Rashi explains that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his tremendous mercy on us wants us to eat on Erev Yom Kippur in order that we should be able to fast on Yom Kippur. And the Torah in Aruch Chaim Sim Tov Reish Dalet says that as well. That it's Me'ahavas, those are the words of the Torah, Me'ahavas Hashem Yisbaruch. It represents the love that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has from us. So therefore says the Ksav Sofer, if the purpose of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be able to eat on Yom Kippur, says the Ksav Sofer, women who are going to have to fast have the same consideration. But says the Ksav Sofer, that means that a woman who is not going to fast on Yom Kippur, since the only reason we're saying she has to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is that she should be able to fast, but if she's not fasting, she doesn't have a mitzvah for eating Erev Yom Kippur. So we have now, and then the Steichemet says, no, it's mitzvah seishes man groma, and women exempt from mitzvah seishes man groma. So we have three opinions. One opinion is that women have to eat Erev Yom Kippur, it's connected to Yom Kippur. We have the other opinion that is mitzvah seishes man groma, women are exempt. And we have the opinion of the Ksav Sofer, who says it depends if they're going to fast or not going to fast. Our Gemara also taught us that women are obligated in the mitzvah of mezuzah. But there are many paiskim suggest that even though women are obligated in the mitzvah of mezuzah, women should not put up the mezuzah. The Sefer Yeshua Smalka paskins that women should not be the ones to writing mezuzah or putting up the mezuzah, because the writing in the mezuzah is connected to the writing of tefillin. And just like women can't write tefillin, they can't write or put up the mezuzah. The Shas Atshuvas Eretz Tzvi, Chelek Aleph Siman Tezvov, says that a woman should l'chatchila not be the one to put up the mezuzah, but if she doesn't have a man that could put up the mezuzah on her behalf, or in the case where a mezuzah was already put up by the woman, then it could be left there. There are other paiskim that take a more stringent approach, and the Ramash Sternberg and the Shalas of Chuvas and Huggis, Chelik Dalet Simen Reish Lamed Ches, the Deborah Tzina Rav Zatzal, and the Shalas of Chuvas Ber Moshe Chelik Beis Simen Kuf say that a woman should not be the one to put up a mezuzah, and not only she should not be the one to put up a mezuzah, but if she put up the mezuzah, the halacha is that it should be taken down and put up by a man. Even our Gemara spoke about the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, but the Gemara, in describing the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, is an obligation, not her independent obligation, but as the Gemara described it, Balam Samcham. And therefore the question is, if a woman said Birchas HaMazon on Yontif without saying Yal V'Yavai, must she repeat the Birchas HaMazon or not? If she has an independent obligation, so just like on Shabbos, the halacha is that if Ritzevach Litzenu is omitted both by a man or by a woman, the halacha is you have to repeat it. So too would be the halacha by Yontif. If it's only because of the husband, then it's something else. So the Pais can make a number of points towards this question.
So as we learned in our Gemara now, that when we speak about Pesach, women are certainly obligated to eat matzah. So since women are certainly obligated to eat matzah, so certainly if a woman has to eat matzah, when you eat matzah, you have to say Birchas HaMazon, and when you eat matzah by the Seder and say Birchas HaMazon, you have to say Yalav Yavoy. It seems that if a woman would omit that Yalav Yavoy, she has to repeat the benching. But the question is, what about on Yontif, where the obligation, as we're learning, is based on Baal and Masamcha? So some Paiskim say that since she, as we're learning in our sugya today, women don't have their own independent obligation. Since women don't have their own independent obligation, if they omit Yal V'Yavoy, they need not repeat it. There are other Paiskim that disagree. They say that once a woman takes upon herself the obligation that she wants to eat Yontif and wants to have Simchas Yontif, so just like she can make a bracha according to Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Ramah, on a mitzvah seishas man grama, she now has the obligation to eat and be besimcha and make and say Birchas HaMazon with Yalav Yavoy. And if she missed it, she should repeat it.